We're excited to be among you this morning once again. I'm going to leave it to my audio man back there. I'll warn you now, I'll blow the speakers out. I've got a loud mouth and it carries very well, so I'm going to leave it in his hands to control the audio, and I'm not going to worry about this morning. The past few days, we've been in a revival, an odd revival. It's been on Facebook Live. We haven't really been coming together as fellowship and having a revival meeting. We've just been going live on Facebook for the past three nights, Thursday through Saturday so far. And it shouldn't amaze me, but it just amazes me how I can get people to watch me on Facebook, but I can't get them to come to church and listen. About each night, we've had over 100 viewers while we've been preaching, and last night was a little bit down. It's Saturday night. People are going out. People are spending time with their families, but the views were down just a little bit. But I noticed something this morning as they go out from week to week. We preach on Facebook Live every Sunday afternoon, and then we post them, and they continue to go out throughout the week, and they go all over the world. And in this, I've noticed that the views keep going up. We are averaging anywhere between 2,500 to over 3,000 views a week on the messages. We have people constantly messaging us through Instant Messenger on Facebook, some at 3 o'clock in the morning, some at 1 o'clock in the morning, asking for prayer for not only for their health, but for their soul's condition. God is using an instrument that we consider evil as Facebook, and he is using it for his honor and glory, and I want to thank him for that this morning. I want to thank him for the opportunity of being able to preach to a little bitty phone. Some people think that's funny, but a lot of the times it's just me and the phone there at fellowship as we start preaching. And the biggest thing is God comes on the scene. I've had men ask me, how do you preach to a phone? I don't preach to a phone. I let God preach me. And that's what I want to do this morning. My voice is a little ragged from this week, but that's okay. That's okay. I'm not here for you to see me. I'm here for you to see Jesus this morning. I'm not here for you to hear me. I'm here for you to hear the Word of God this morning. I don't want to be put up on a pedestal. I want to be put in your prayers this morning. On the way down here, my wife asked me, she said, are you all right? I guess she heard me over there sighing as I was driving. And I just looked at her and said, God's called in an audible. Now, some people, it might not mean much of anything, but I studied a little bit last night and yesterday for both last night's sermon and this morning's sermon, and I thought I had everything under control, exactly where God would have me to go. On the way down here, God just threw an inaudible. He changed the whole entire plan. So this morning, I ask for your prayers as we try to deliver what God is guiding us and directing us this morning, that it'll be beneficial to those that are saved and that it'll be a warning to those that are lost. That's our main objective. If you're here and saved, I wanted you to ask yourself a question. Are you excited about serving God? You know, we live in a day and age that's so depressing that God's children have forgotten how to be excited to serve God and excited to see God's handiwork in everything that we do or say in our lives. We've forgotten where we came from and where he's taken us to. We've forgotten a lot about God, but we're remembering everything about the world. So I want you to ask yourself, are you excited about serving God? If you're here and lost this morning, I want you to ask yourself, have you ever sought after God? My son, not too many weeks ago, started seeking God for the first time, and my heart just crushed because there's nothing I can do except pray for him. I can't give him the words to say, or I can't make him repent this or repeat this or do anything like that, but all I can do is pray for him. And this morning, I want you to ask yourself, have you truly been saved by God's grace? If you do, the scriptures that we're getting ready to read should excite you. It should excite you. It should bring us to a point to where we realize where we came from, where we're going, and the whole reason why. Jesus is that thread that holds us from where we're coming from and where we're going. And we ought to know this. It should excite us as the people of God, that we should be about the Father's business so much that people get sick and tired of hearing us. I've learned one thing on Facebook. Not everybody likes me. That's hard to accept at times, isn't it? I've learned that the hard way. I've been cursed at. I've been told I'd be better off if I was dead. I've been told I'd be better off if I just lose my tongue. We've had people threaten us. We've had people praise us. We've had different things. It's a roller coaster. It's an emotional roller coaster. But serving God isn't about emotions. Serving God's about certainties. And this morning, I want to remind us of the certainties of God. I want us to be reminded about the cause, as David said there, and we'll get to our reading here maybe in a minute, but I want us to remember the cause. A lot of times when we think about David and Goliath, we remember he asked him, he said, is there not a cause? And a lot of times we think that cause was just to defeat Goliath. We think that cause was just for him to spark up the army of Israel that they might continue to move forward. But that wasn't the cause. David said the cause is that the whole world would know that there's a God in Israel. That was the cause. The defeating of Goliath was just the example, but the cause was that the whole world would know, not this little lad of a boy defeated Goliath, but that God defeated Goliath, and there's a God in Israel. My goal here today is that the cause would go forth here in the Columbus area, that God, that the Columbus area would know that there's a God here at Friendship Missionary Baptist Church. And he's not dead. He's very much alive. He's very much strong. He's very much willing to not only to help his children, but to carry his children. Because David told us something else in that passage there in the 1 Samuel chapter 17, where he's talking about that whole battle with Goliath. He said, the battle isn't mine anyways. He said, the battle is the Lord's. So if you're trying to fight this fight on your own, stop. Because it's not your battle to fight. You are the instrument. You are the tool. You are the weapon that God is using to fight the battle, because the battle is his. The battle is his. The brother said something about the spiritual warfare earlier. We cannot fight that warfare without God being the one using the weapon, which is us, to fight the warfare. God has to be the one wielding the sword. It's not us. So I hope today we'll be excited once again. I can remember as a child walking into the church and the Spirit of God be upon the people so much, we wouldn't even get into song service before there's prayer, before there's shouting, before there's testifying, and everyone was excited about serving God. I don't want to live in the past. I want the past to be my future. I want to see that once again among our people. I want to see us once again be so excited about serving God that our children know beyond a shadow of a doubt why we do this. It isn't just out of dedication to the church. It's dedication to God. If you're here out of dedication for church, you're here for the wrong reason. It's dedication to God. God first, church second. I guarantee the family will fall right into place. But if we have church first, God second, it won't work. If we have a church second and family first, it won't work. It must be God at the head of everything, or nothing will work. Nothing will work. And I think we've forgotten that, and we've taken and we say that Jesus Christ is the head of our church, but we are trying to run the church in the way we want it, when it should be ran by the Spirit of God and only by the Spirit of God through the commandments of Christ. I want us to be excited once again. I don't know about you, but it's getting harder in this day and age to get excited about much. It really is. You turn the news on, it's nothing but depression. All these things that are going on that are against the scriptures, all these things that are going on that are even just against moral beliefs. It's depressing. It's hard to get excited. But look what's waiting for me. Look what's waiting for me. Look where I've come from. Paul said, you once were in your dead and your trespasses and sin, but God has quickened you and made you alive. And God's churches seem like we're full of a bunch of dead people. We don't want to move. We don't want to do this. We don't want to do that. God's not dead, people. Have we forgotten who he is? Have we forgotten where he's brought you from? Do you realize if you're here and saved by God's grace, he's brought you from hell's pit? That's what you deserve. That's what you were dangling over. When you were lost and separated from God, that thread could have been cut at any moment. You could have died separated from God, and hell would have been your home, and you could do nothing about it. That would have been your final destination. Your forever stay place would be hell's damnation. That was your fate. But Jesus stepped in. Jesus stepped in and said, Father, I went for them. I died for them. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, a Savior of mercy. A Savior of grace. A Savior that died in my place. That I deserve the death that he took upon him, but he did it for me. We're going to read Isaiah chapter 53. The Lord willing here. We're going to at least try to. I don't know if we'll be able to get through it or not. It's a very familiar scripture to a lot. It's talking about our Savior and what He went through. And it starts off, and Isaiah starts off here and says, "Who hath believed our report?" This morning I want to ask you, are you going to believe the report of the Word of God? Not my big mouth, but are you going to believe the report of God? Let God speak to your heart this morning. And you see, we as saved people, we think God doesn't speak to us during the message, but God delivers His Word down deep in our heart, just as He did when He pricked our heart when we were lost and separated from God. It's God that delivers the Word, not the minister. That doesn't make sense, does it? The minister's the one with the big mouth. The minister's the one saying everything. But if God does not deliver the word into the heart, it's all in vain. This morning, who is going to believe our report? Are you going to believe the report of the Word of God? Are you going to believe the report that we're getting ready to read? And he goes on and he says, "And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed?" That word arm there is also translated in power. And who is going to have the power of God revealed to them today? Do you want to know the report? Do you want to hear it? Do you want the power of God revealed to you once again in your life to where it excites you to the point to where you almost can't contain it? And you're as David when you say, "My cup runneth over, I'm excited today." Do you want that back in your life? Well, it's going to start out by believing the report. It's going to start out by remembering who we are, where we came from, and what Jesus did for us to get us to where we're going. I don't know about you, but when we talked about how sweet heaven will be in that song, my heart rejoiced because that's where I'm going. The Bible says me tells me that heaven's going to shine, but it's not going to shine of the streets of gold, the gates of pearl, the walls of jasper. It's going to shine by the light of the glory of the Lamb Himself, Jesus Christ. That's where I'm going. That's where I'm going. And if that doesn't excite us anymore, what is going to? If that doesn't get us on fire for God, knowing that there are some that aren't going there and they're going to go to the devil's hell, if that doesn't worry us and concern us, but we're more worried about the next softball game or baseball game or football game, or more worried about the next school activity, or more worried about work, how are we going to spread the word of God if we're worried about the things of this world? Paul said, "A good soldier doesn't entangle himself with the affairs of this life, but we entangle ourselves with the word of God. And we fight the fight because we're excited to stand for God. I'm excited this morning to stand before you. I'm excited this morning to deliver the word of God. Well, my voice gives out or not, I'm excited about it because of the one who excites me. I'll be honest with you, I love this church. I have for many years. I've been coming here off and on for many years as a little boy with mom and dad coming in during revivals and different services. I've been in this church. I love this church. But you don't excite me. God excites me when I come into this church. It's not the membership that excites me unless God's exciting them. This morning, I'm not here to excite you. I'm here to remind you that God is the one that excites us. I don't want you to get excited because there's someone up here wailing his arms or his voice gets louder and it gets softer. I don't want you excited because you might think for just a moment that I'm in the Spirit. I want you excited because you know the Spirit of God is with you this morning. Who will believe our report, and who will the power or the arm of the Lord be revealed to this morning? I don't know any heart here this morning at all. There might be some that are lost, or some might be here that never have known they were lost until today. There's some that are here that might be cold and indifferent with God that need to be repent of their own, that they might be able to get closer to God. I don't know your heart this morning, but I know if the power of the Lord is revealed to you, He will excite you in some fashion or form. Whether it's to seek Him for salvation, whether it's seek Him to be closer, or whether it's just to praise His holy name, He will excite you. Because it's His power of excitement. Not mine. Not yours. But it's of God. I think too many times we might try to request songs or request this or that that might stir the emotions. I don't want your emotions stirred this morning. I was accused a while back on Facebook about being an emotional preacher. I'm not here to stir your emotions. I'm not here to talk about the saints that have gone on. I'm here to stir up God in our midst. I'm here to remind us that God is in the midst of the church. We read in Revelation, I don't know if we'll get back to Isaiah 53 or not. That's okay. We read in Revelation chapter 1 where John there, he saw the seven candlesticks, and he said, in the midst of the candlesticks, who's in the midst of it? The Son of God himself was walking in the midst of the candlesticks. And that means to me today that God is still walking in the midst of his church if the candlestick is still there. He's still here today. Have you forgotten about him? Do you remember how it was to feel the presence of God in your life? Has it been so long since you felt God wake you in the middle of the night that you've forgotten how it was like? Has it been so long since you walked in the church doors and you're excited because you felt the Spirit of God before Sunday school ever started? Oh, when's the last time you truly had a revival? I'm not talking about a series of services. I know here recently y'all had a revival effort meeting. I hope you had a revival, because there's a big difference in the effort meeting and a revival, a big difference. And I want you to understand today that you don't have to set aside a series of service to have a revival, but we can have revival today. Revivals when God's children are revived in the Spirit of God. That's revival. Revival in the series of services. Revival really isn't for the lost. Revival is for those who are saved by God's grace, that we might go out and work to save and to seek those who are lost. Oh, yes, we can't save them. But I know one that can. Do you? Do you know him today? Is he your father? Is he your brother? Is he your best friend? Oh, Jesus is my all in all. Yes, he is. He's my everything. And I don't mean that just to boast. I don't mean that to brag. But I mean that as a fact. He is my everything. Without him, I would be nothing. And I'm not talking about anything great in this world. I'm not talking about being a king or a president of the United States or anything like that. I'm talking, I would be nothing. I would not be saved. You know what? If our president hadn't been saved by God's grace, he's nothing. If the richest man in the world has not God, he has nothing. A lot of times we want to focus on the salaries that they're making in the NBA or the NFL or this or that. And we think, man, it must be nice to have all that money. Well, guess what? My father owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. He not only owns it, he created them. They're his. They're his. And the Bible tells me that I'm a joint heir with Christ to the throne. You talking about having something, people. I have something. And not to brag about, not to be prideful about, but I have something because I'm a joint heir with Jesus Christ. And if you're saved by God's grace, you are too. It's something to be excited about. It's not something to be down and depressed about. Oh, I can't do this anymore in life. You shouldn't have been doing it in the first place. If you can't do it now, oh, but thanks be to God, I'm a joint heir. I'm a pilgrim passing through. I'm seeking a better country. Who hath believed our report? And who is the power of the Lord been revealed this morning? I don't know what you got going on in your life, but I want you to point you to the refuge. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapter 46, verse 1, that God is our refuge, and he's a strength, and he's a present help in trouble. I want you to understand, I don't know what you're going through in life. I don't know how you're going through it, but if you're going through it without God, you're going to fail miserably. Because he is the refuge. I don't know what battle you're fighting today. I don't know what you're going against. But never forget this, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Though it might seem hopeless and there's nowhere else to turn, turn to Jesus, for he is the one that has all power and all authority in heaven and in earth. And he is your refuge. Oh, he goes on in that 46th chapter, I believe it is, around the 10th verse, where he says, be still, and just sit there and do nothing. No, he says, be still and know that I am God. And not only that, but I will be exalted among the heathens. Today, know this, in this heathen world we live in today, It might seem like Christianity is coming to a close. It might seem like the world's taking over. But be still, God's children, and know that God is still God, and that He will be exalted one way or another among these heathens today. Don't give in. Don't give up. But look up. Psalmist in the 121st Psalm, I believe it is, he said, I will look up unto the mountains where my help cometh. My help cometh from the Lord, he said, that never slumbers and nor sleeps. He's there 24 hours, 7 days a week, ready and willing and able to hear your cry. His ears are open to the cries of the righteous. His eyes are upon the righteous this morning. Can we not be excited about God once again? Who hath believed our report? Do you believe me this morning that God is still with us? Do you believe me this morning that there's still hope for the children of God? That the world isn't over yet. Are we reading it? Paul telling Timothy there that in the last time, perilous times will come. We see all these things happening. Just open your eyes around you. Everything that Paul told Timothy is coming to effect. We're living through it right now, but it doesn't mean that God's done. Oh, he's not done yet. Oh, is there not a cause this morning? Oh, there's a greater cause today than there was yesterday. And tomorrow, if we live, it'll be a greater cause tomorrow than there was today to let the world know that God is still God. And we are his children. Who defies the army of God? Oh, have you thought about how David said that? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine, this sinner, this heathen that defies the army of God? Who is it in your life? What is it in your life? Get it out of your life. Separate from it. Have God deliver you from it. Because God's not dead. He's alive. He is alive. I don't serve a dead God this morning. If you do, I want to introduce you to the living Savior. Because Jesus is alive today, and he's powerful today. You might say, well, he's not very powerful. Well, you just wait. The Bible says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, and I will repay. I want you to understand God is love, and we hear that all the time, and it's gotten to the point to now it's almost a joke you hear so often through these non-denominational churches and churches that are so-called churches not preaching the truth, and all they want to do is talk about the love of God. Well, if you talk about the love of God, you must talk about the wrath of God because they go hand in hand. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Vengeance isn't yours today. Vengeance isn't ours as a people. Vengeance is God's. I want you to understand, no matter how offended you feel from this world, no matter how offended you feel from people, you are not the offended party. God is. He is the offended party. If they are offending you, they are offending him. If they are offending him, they are offending you. So therefore, if you're a child of God, you are his and he is yours. And if you are offended, he is offended. He is the ultimate offended party. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. Let us not forget the very next verse there in Hebrews. He says, it is a fearful thing to fall in the hands of a living God. This morning, are we excited anymore? Well, I haven't preached very long, or maybe I have. I don't know. I lose track of time when I get up here. But are we excited? Are you wanting to be excited anymore? Are you wanting to turn the frowns upside down? And when people come into the church, they see a people that want to be here, not just have to be here. That's one thing on Facebook. I don't see anybody's expression. I don't see anything. It's just me and the Lord and the phone, and people can turn me off or turn me on. I have no idea they're doing it. But this morning, I want to see excitement on the children of God once again. I want to see people really excited about serving God, not just downtrodden, well, the world's getting out of hand. Amen, it is. But you know what you can do about it? Nothing. You, yourself, can't do anything about it. But I know a God that can do everything about it. We can't do nothing about the way the world's going. It's going to go that way. The Bible predicts exactly how it's going to go. You cannot stop what's written in the Word, but you can pray that God would strengthen us through these times. You can pray that God would help us through these times. You can pray that God would open the eyes of one more lost soul. I'm not looking to save the world. The Bible says many are called, but few are chosen. I'm not looking to save the whole world. I'm looking to hear one more soul. If I got to go one at a time to hear them say that God has saved their soul, let it be one at a time. But let me, when that one gets saved, let me look for another one. If that one gets saved, let us look for another one. If that one gets saved, let's look for another one. If we see our brother or sister off the side of the road, not on the straight and narrow path, let us go to them. Let us talk to them. Let us help them be excited to get back on the path of God. Let us not just push them off to the wayside and forget about them. Let's not just walk right by them, but let us help them. Let us feed off one another. Let the strong feed the weak. Let the weak rely on the strong. And let us fight the battle together. You're not alone this morning. You might feel you're alone at times. I'm not going to speak for your pastor. I'm going to speak for me. Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, you're not alone. A young man in Indianapolis that's praying for you. I pray for God's churches daily. I might not know you face to face, name to name, but you're in my prayers. We are not alone in this battle. My phone is open to you 24 hours, 7 days a week. You are not alone in this battle. And if you ever feel alone, call me, wake me up. Let's talk and let's pray together, even if it's over the phone. Oh, I said, I wasn't going to speak for your pastor, but I believe he'd amen that he's available, that he's there with you. I love Brother John with all my heart. I have all the respect in the world for him, and I believe he's doing a great work here. But don't ever think you're all alone. We're only alone when we put ourselves alone. We are only alone when we separate ourselves from the children of God, when we separate ourselves from the church, when we separate ourselves from God, then we are alone. Oh, but if you don't want to be alone, doesn't matter to me what time it is. Doesn't matter to me at all. I had Brother James Whitney text me at 2:00 in the morning one morning and asked me if I was awake. At 2:00 in the morning, you think I'm awake? He didn't care if I was awake. He needed to talk. And so I didn't even text him back. I just called him. I said, what is wrong with you? What do you mean, am I awake? What do you need, brother? Let's talk. I don't care what time it is. I don't care if I sleep at all. God is my strength. God is my refuge. And I'll make it through the day, whether I really want to or not. God will give me what I need to make it through the day. So don't worry about waking me or waking my family. You worry about serving God. And if you need me, you call me. Brothers and sisters, we're a family. We're a family of God. And sometimes families argue, don't they? I've got two sisters, trust me, we argue. We did growing up. I've got twin 9-year-old boys back here. Trust me, they argue and they fight constantly. We're families. We don't always see eye to eye on everything. But one thing we better see eye to eye on is that God is in control. He's loud and he's there. We know he's there. And we can hear him. You think my voice is loud? Angry to God and you'll hear a loud voice. You get him angry and you're going to hear something more than that still small voice. God chastises those that he loves. He sure does. And it might seem brutal at the time, but it brings us back to where we need to be. It brings us back in that excitement. I want to encourage you to read Isaiah 53. I didn't get nowhere near it. I just got the first verse and that's all right. I didn't know where we were going to go anyways, but I want to encourage you to read that. And as you do, I want you to see some of the things that Christ did for you that you cannot do on your own. Do you understand it says that it pleased the Father? Do you want to know something? You can't please the Father, except you can't please him without faith, and that faith comes in Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is ultimately the one that can please the Father and the only one that can please the Father and the sacrifice for our sins. It's all about him, isn't it? The older I get, and not just as I'm starting to act like him and look like him, but the older I get, the wiser I see my dad. Because he's told me all my life, the older he gets, the closer he gets to God. And the more he sees how Jesus did things for him that he didn't even realize was being done. And the more he sees how the sacrifice that was made there on Calvary was for him and personally. And people, salvation is a very personal experience. I do not believe in this thing going around accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, but I do truly believe in a personal salvation. If you have a group salvation, you don't have salvation. Salvation must be one-on-one with the great one and no one else. And that's the only way you're going to find it. And my dad told me that years ago, and I didn't understand it. And he kept saying, the older I get, and he's 82 now, I believe, and he just talks about heaven, he just starts bawling. It gets sweeter. And I used to think, there's no way it getting sweeter. But the older I get, the sweeter thinking about my God gets. Thinking about my heavenly home gets. Thinking about preaching God's word gets. I get excited when I think I got to preach. Now, whoever tells you that the burden to preach God's word is just that, a burden, and they wish they would never had it, they've never truly been called by God. Oh, people, this burden I have to preach God's word, oh, it's wonderful. It's pleasing to me because it's pleasing to the Father. What's pleasing to Him becomes pleasing to me because it excites me. When I open His book and I go to Him in prayer and we sit in the study. Now, yeah, God sits in my study. I don't know about you. He pulls up a chair right next to me. I'm not signing funny. Yes, I don't see the chair. Yes, I don't really see Him physically next to me, but I can feel His presence in that study. As we open His word and we begin to look into it, and He opens my eyes and tears start flowing. I was reading Isaiah 53 earlier this week, and my tears just started flowing. Oh, when I thought about what my Jesus went through for me, what He done for me, how He took on my sins, my iniquities, how the chastisement of my peace was upon Him, and it's by His stripes I am healed this morning. Oh, the tears started flowing and I got excited. You know what I got excited about? Not His brutal death, but I got excited that He loved me enough. A wretched sinner as I. He loved me enough. One that didn't care anything about Him. He loved me enough to come die in my place. Oh, when I think about the love my wife has for me and I have for her, I get excited. And yes, every once in a while, tears will start flowing. Oh, but when I think about the love of God, oh, there's nothing in comparison to the love of God. There's nothing. Because He loved me before I loved Him. He loved me before I even deserved to even think about Him. He loved me before I was ever born. The Bible says, before the foundation of the world, and I'm going to hush. Before the foundation of the world, Jesus Christ stood as a lamb slain sacrifice. If that doesn't excite you, people, I don't know what will. Because He loved you before you were ever thought of, before you were ever considered, before you were ever conceived. Jesus Christ loved you enough to come die for you. Yes, God is love, God is wrath, God is good, and God is good all the time. Whether it's in love or whether it's in wrath. We deserve the wrath, but He gave us love. We in our minds love, and He gave us wrath. We deserve it all, don't we? No, we don't deserve the love of God. That's what the world wants to think. We deserve it all. No, we deserve the wrath of God. We, by grace, we have received the love of God, an unmerited favor of God. This morning, I hope God would take this report to you, and I hope that it will be delivered in the power of God. Not from me, but from the power of God by His Spirit, that it would speak to your heart this morning. That it would touch you in a way that would excite you once again about serving God and being here for God. Not being here out of dedication to the church, but being here out of dedication to God. Being here for God to praise Him. This is our worship service. Amen. Let us worship. Let us praise. Jesus said no one can worship the Father except they worship Him in truth. And in spirit. So if there's something in between you and God, you can't have truth. Let's be honest. Not with me. Be honest with God this morning. The Bible tells us in 1 John that He is just and faithful to give, to forgive them that come to Him. This morning, if you need forgiveness, God's children, there's only one way to find it. And you're not even going to find it among your brothers and sisters until you find it from God first. That's the first and foremost place you find it there. And I guarantee you, it'll be evident in your life that you found it and the church will forgive you. That's a side note. I don't know where it came from, but it came out. But the church will forgive you. God's children, if you're close to God, let the world know. I'm not here to work up the spirit. I'm not here to get you to do anything that God does not want you to do. But I am here to get you to worship God in a way that God would be pleased. That's what we need. You want to know what you need? You need Him. Well, I'm saved. You know what you need? You need Him. Well, I've been on this road a long time. That's okay. You know what you need? You need Him. Well, I've been coming to this church all my life. I know what the church does. Well, you know what you need? You need Him. You need Him no matter what the situation, no matter what you are going through, no matter what you're doing, you need Him. Church, He is the head. Let Him direct us. Let Him have His way, and let us worship Him and praise Him in truth and in spirit, and then let us go away saying it's been a great day in the house of the Lord. Not because Brother Scott came, not because I got up this morning, but that God met with us. That's what matters. Let us sit in heavenly places today, and we can do that. I already have. I hope that you can feel what I feel behind this desk this morning. I hope you can feel the arms of God wrap around you and remind you that He is still here. I hope that you can feel the Spirit of God dwelling in you, because that's what the Bible says. And when we're saved, the Spirit of God dwells in us. Well, how do you know you're saved? The Bible even tells us that. You will know you're saved when the Spirit of God bears witness or tells you you have been saved. Too many times we take the easy road out when someone asks, well, how do you know you've been saved? Well, you'll know. Well, that's a true statement. You'll know. But the Bible says that there will be a peace that passes all understanding. Peter said that there will be joy unspeakable and full of glory. There will be something that changes in you that lets you know. Yes, you'll know. But let's just not take the easy road out. Let's let them know how they know. People that accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior know they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. People that are baptized know that they got wet when they got baptized, didn't they? They know something happened there, didn't they? But how do you know you're saved? It's not by the wet of the water. It's not by the acceptance of the mind. It's about the peace that passes all understanding. It's about that joy that God places deep down in your heart, that He takes away that condemnation, that He takes away that godly sorrow, and He puts a peace that you know Him and He knows you. Yeah, you'll know. That's right. But you'll know by Him. Him only. You won't know by getting wet. You won't know by making a mental exception. You'll know by God letting you know. How do I know I'm lost? You'll know by that godly sorrow that God places deep down in your heart. And how do I know how to repent? You'll know by the godly sorrow that worketh unto repentance. For anything? No. Unto salvation. It only comes to Him by the godly sorrow. I'm going to get started again, so I'm going to hush. This morning, God's people, let's get excited about this book once again. Let's get excited about what it tells us, what it shows us, who we are. I don't know about you, but I'm part of the army of God. And with a great commander-in-chief like Him, I cannot lose. I cannot lose. So don't get down and depressed. You might think you're losing the battle, but guess what? The battle's not yours to lose. It's His. We got the victory. And guess what? The victory's sweet if we just stay the course and fight the fight. The victory is sweet. Let Him use you this morning. You might be here to bless me this morning. I don't know. I might need to hear what God has done in your life. I don't know. I don't know what God's done in your life. You know why? Because we keep our mouths shut and we don't tell one another. Let us praise God today. Let us do His will today, not mine. Don't do it because I said do it. Do it because God is guiding you. God is directing you as He did the children of Israel. They had a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And He guided them. When the cloud stopped and the fire stopped, they stopped. When the Spirit leads, let us move. When the Spirit stops, let us stop. It's just as easy as that. It's just as easy as ABC 1, 2, 3. If we just follow Him, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We follow them, we cannot go wrong. We stray off from them, we'll do everything wrong. So this morning, I want to encourage you, the Friendship Missionary Baptist Church, to serve God with all the capacity of your being. Serve Him with everything that you have. Excite one another. Let the world know that there's a God and He's alive here at Friendship. Let the world know that these four walls cannot contain my God. Don't leave Him here. Take Him out to where the work is. Take Him out to the battlefield. Let's go, let's serve him. Every once in a while, maybe open the doors. Let them hear. Let them hear. Don't be afraid of what they can do. Don't be afraid of man. So what? They can kill the body. But I fear the one that has the power to kill both body and soul and cast soul in hell everlasting. Fear him, the Bible says. Not the one that can just kill the body. Oh, they can take his whole body. You know what? The only thing they've done is done me a favor. They sent me home a little earlier. Yes, they can come in, they can take it. And God will take my soul on home. That's what it says in Ecclesiastes. It says that our bodies will go back to the dust. I know I told you I'd hush. And honey, you can count up how many times I said that today. She's always on to me saying I lie from the pulpit, saying I'm going to hush, and I keep preaching for another 20 minutes. But that's okay. I'm excited today because the Bible says that one, there's going to come a time my body's going to go back to the dust of the earth, and my spirit's going to go back to God who gave it. I can't wait for that day. That sounds pretty bad, doesn't it? I'm not suicidal. Don't take me wrong, but I can't wait for that day that I see him face to face. I can't wait to the day that I behold him with these eyes and I know and I see him. And I can't wait for that day to where I can perfectly praise him. Oh, here today my praise is cut short, but there I will be able to perfectly praise him. Praise the Lamb that was slain for my sins. The light of the sinner. Can you get excited about God again? Can we get on fire for him one more time? Can we revive our hearts? The psalmist said, will you not revive us? Yes, he will. If we truly want and desire to be revived. But he will not force us. But if we desire it today, we can have a revival here in this hour of worship. We sure can. Will you say, well, we didn't go through a business meeting and set aside and call a helper? Amen, you didn't. Let's throw traditions out the door for a little bit and let's just serve God. Let's serve him today. I'm going to turn the service back over to my brother this morning. I just ask you not to sit down with the Lord. If God doesn't have anything for you to do, sit there. Don't do anything. Please, don't do anything. God's not in. But if God's got something on your heart, it might be a song, and you might say, well, I can't sing a note. The Bible says make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Let the heart sing unto the Lord this morning. It might be you have to testify. You have a testimony of something. And not a lot of times we think of our testimony of salvation, but sometimes our testimony is exactly what that is, a testimony of where God's brought us from. Oh, I think how many times we read about the children of Israel crossing the Red Sea. That's their testimony, wasn't it? They seen the power of God. And I'm going to hush. I'm going to get going again. I said it again. I'm going to hush. Brother, if you would, come on. I'm going to turn service over to you. If you don't come on, I might start up again. But come on, let's just praise God today. Serve him. Serve him with all that you have this morning in whatever capacity that God would guide you this morning. God bless you is my prayer.